بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Wednesday morning I came here for Fajr and I noticed that it was, subhanAllah, an extremely beautiful morning. And the full moon was out and it was crisp and clear and it had this special type of feeling and environment when I saw that. So I felt, maybe today is going to be a nice day. So when I was coming for Dhuhr, I almost forgot. But then right when I dashed out of the door, I remembered to grab my camera. And alhamdulillah, I'm so glad I did, because when I came here, I realized really how beautiful this building was, especially when the sunlight was coming in. And so I took a bunch of pictures. I think it was around 50 pictures. And then, I like to appreciate good pictures and good art. So I was so excited about this. I was so excited about these pictures that I couldn't wait till I got home and I took them off my camera and uploaded them to the internet and put them on Facebook. Similarly, when we find an interesting article online, for example, or a video, or something of importance happens to us, right? So, okay, we don't play the lottery, but I was going to say if you win the lottery, or something of importance happens to us, you get a new job, something good happens, we like to share it with people, right? So this shows that when we are either interested in something, we find interesting, or something affects us in a important way, then we tell one another. So similarly, when the believers begin to appreciate and value their iman, their faith, and they begin to value and appreciate the value and the importance of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they get interested by it, they're interested in it, they're affected by it, and they also want to share it with others. So they start doing what we call da'wah, right? Which is inviting and welcoming people towards the path that they're on, the path which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now literally, da'wah, we use this term often, we have a da'wah committee. Da'wah means to call people. So in some languages, so for example in Urdu, people say on a Saturday night, they're going for a da'wah. Right, which basically means somebody has called him and then going for a meal, for a party somewhere. And likewise in other languages as well. So, da'wah literally means to call. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very highly of such people who are so excited and who are so thrilled by this valuable iman and this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they want to share it with people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks very highly of such people. And he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله. And who is better in speech than he who invites people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. And let there be of you a community, a group of people calling others to good and commanding that which is reputable and prohibiting that which is disreputable. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And these are those who are successful, who are blissful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is something that is very honorable, this is something that is very good, and he's saying that there should be a group of people among us who do this. So now the question is that, we see people doing this, so is this something that is required, or is it something that is optional? So do we have a choice? So should we, just if you feel like it, if you feel we're up to it, then we, invite others towards good, invite others towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it something that we have to do? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, while addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially, says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbik," right? Invite to the way of your Lord. Now, this, as I mentioned, was a commandment at the time, of course, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are scholars who say that this is also an individual obligation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a command. Udu'u ila. سَبِيلَ رَبِّكَ, right? Call. You go call towards the way of your Lord. So the scholars say that this is actually an obligation upon us individually as well. To the best of our capability, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our of what we're able to do, that we also make this effort. So we've established that, okay, you know, this is an, at the very least, this is commendable, and at most it's an obligation, something that we have to do. So we want to share Islam with others, we want to call others towards the good, but how should it be done? So that's the question, right? So how should it be done? So there's different approaches that we've seen over time that people have taken. You know, some in the larger cities, for example, will hand out flyers, you know, have a table outside the Eaton Center in Toronto, you know, at busy streets and street corners, they'll be handing out pamphlets. Some will put bumper stickers on their cars. You know, others will have discussions and debates, and we've seen those happen as well. Or we'll have events, like we're organizing this masjid. We have an open house, we have an international bazaar, where we invite people to come to the masjid and to explore what Islam has to offer. There's others who go from city to city, in different places, door to door, calling upon people and calling them, and so on. So when we do all of these things, these are all different approaches. But when we do this, you know, how should be our approach? What should be our approach? So should our approach be stern and strict? Like, you know, take it or leave it, this is it. You know, it's my way or the highway. Khalas. You know, or should we engage and explain and discuss? Right? So what should be, what's the right approach? So let's take a look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbik," he goes on to say, he didn't just leave it at that. He says, "بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ," right? So with wisdom and good counsel. "وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ," and argue with them, debate with them in the best of manners. Right? So the scholars actually say, you know, this is a short verse, it's not a long verse. But the scholars say that within this verse, subhanAllah, within this verse is embedded an entire curriculum on doing da'wah. Within this verse is embedded an entire curriculum on how to call people towards good and how to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we notice is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call to the way of your Lord, invite to the way of your Lord, bil hikmah. Bil hikmah. So what exactly is meant by hikmah? So the commentators of the Quran, Mufassirun, have differed on what exactly is referred to by al hikmah. You know, some will say it's the Quran because the Quran has been named as hikmah. Some say it's the Quran and the Sunnah, but literally, hikmah means wisdom. Imam Mahmud al-Alusi, in his famous tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani, he says that talking about hikmah, he says, "Innahu al-kalam al-sawab al-waqi' min al-nafs ajmal ma'qin," that it is sound speech. What is hikmah? It is sound speech which goes into one's heart. It is sound speech that when a person says something, it goes into the heart. Like, you know, sometimes you'll see speakers, you'll hear speakers that are very good, and when they say something, it bypasses everything, it goes straight to the heart, and it hits where it makes an effect on how you behave and how you think. So he says that it is sound speech which goes into one's heart. But there's three things that are very clear from this ayah. So we have bil hikmah, wisdom, وَمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, good counsel, and debating in the best of manners. So what does that actually mean? What does that actually mean? So first of all, to use wisdom to wisely assess, right? Before we go in and we start telling people and inviting people and so on, we assess the situation first, right? We do an assessment of the circumstances and the conditions that are surrounding the addressee. So the person that we are trying to invite towards good, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we assess the circumstances and the conditions that they're in. And then we pick the most appropriate things to say at the most appropriate time. Right? So we pick the most appropriate things to say at the most appropriate time, taking into consideration the circumstances surrounding the person we're speaking to, and we are careful not to become a burden. We are careful not to become a burden. Now this is very important, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he would have his halaqas, he would, you know, offer advice, offer counseling. teach the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but it wasn't his customary practice to hold these sessions every single day. Right now, of course, we know the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were very eager to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't let go of any opportunity to benefit from him and to ask questions and so on. Yet, it was still not the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this on a regular basis every single day. Why? Because it could become a burden on people. Because they have other businesses to take care of, they have their families to take care of, they have other issues. So he wouldn't do it on every single day. So we call in a way that doesn't become a burden on the person that we are addressing. And finally, the last part of hikmah, wisdom, is to have leniency when required and firmness when required. Right? So sometimes, depending on the situation, we need to be a bit lenient in what we are saying and how we are saying it. And sometimes, depending on the situation, we might need to be a bit firm. So this is what is meant by hikmah. Now, one question might come to mind, and this is sometimes a point that is raised when we talk about, you know, da'wah and discussing with others, is that we end up trying to hide the truth sometimes. Right? So that we end up trying to cover things up or try to be a little apologetic and so on. So the point here is not to hide the truth, which is relevant, but to present the truth in a sensitive and an appropriate way. So we have to say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, right? We can't hide, we're sinful if we hide things that are part of our religion, that are part of our belief. But it's one thing to just go out and shoot your mouth and just, you know, download it all at once. And it's another thing to present it in a proper manner, right? To present it in a proper manner. Just a simple example comes to mind. You go to a cheap restaurant, right? And the food, you know, might be good, but it just comes, you know, it's not set properly, and the dishes are, you know, mismatched, and, you know, some of the forks aren't the same, and, you know, the glasses are cheap, and so on, right? So that has a different effect. Whereas if you go to a good restaurant, right, the food might be of inferior quality, possibly, or it might be the same, might be better, but the presentation of how the food is presented has a big effect on how much you pay and how you value that restaurant, right, and how you value the service. So we present what we have to present, but we present it in the proper way. Secondly, the subject matter and the manner of presentation has to be kept soft to prove that the person who is calling, who is making this invitation, is saying all of this in the best interest of the addressee. In the best interest of the person who you're talking to, not to embarrass them. And this is very important, not to embarrass them, not to belittle them, but to basically keep their interest at heart, and that we are trying to give them a message which will help them. It's not for ourselves. It's not to put them down. Rather, it's to make a point, but to do it in a way that the person understands that we are sincere in what we are saying. Now, this point on you know, being soft and so on, is in fact what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam as well. So when Musa alayhi salam was ordered to go to Fir'aun, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَ لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Speak to him in gentle words. So we know who Fir'aun is, right? Of course. And we know what Musa alayhi salam stood for, of course, which is total opposites. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to speak in a gentle way, in gentle words, and perhaps he may accept admonition or fear. And finally, we learned that if we do come to a point where we need to debate and discuss, that shouldn't be our starting point, right? Debates and discussions, especially debates, shouldn't be our starting point. It's the last resort. So if there's a person, right, who still has doubts or who has enmity, and we need to discuss with them and debate with them, then we do it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we do it in the best of ways. And again, not to put the person down, right? It's not about the person. It's about what they're saying. So we speak in a way that we don't put the person down, and we try to take away their doubts, and we try to convince them. Imam Qurtubi, famous Maliki scholar of Quran and Hadith from Qurtuba, from Cordoba in Spain, 12th century. He says, regarding this verse, وَأَمَرَهُ أَن يَدْعُوَ إِلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّرْعِ بِتَلَطُّفْ وَلِينَ دُونَ مُخَاشَنَةً وَتَعْنِيفٍ. That the order in this verse is to call towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call towards the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a soothing way, in a soothing way, with softness, with leniency and gentleness, not roughness and not rebuke. وَهَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُوَعَذَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this is how the Muslims should continue, should call. This is how they should offer advice and call people till the Day of Judgment. So this is what he has deduced from this verse. So now, okay, we understand we have an obligation probably to do this, and we've learned how we should do it. Now what are the benefits? Right, so the benefits are very great. So the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever guides another, whoever, any person who guides another person to a good deed, will get a reward similar to the one who performs it. Right, so if a person guides another person to do something, so for example, if you convince someone to go for Hajj, right, and they end up going, and they listen to you, and you convince them, and they take your advice to heart, and they go for Hajj, then inshallah, you'll get the same reward as the Hajj as well. Now that doesn't mean, by the way, that it fulfills your obligation for Hajj. So for example, if you haven't done your Hajj yet, right, and you go around convincing people, and you think, okay, I've got 10 Hajjs in my account, right, it still doesn't fulfill the obligation of doing the Hajj. So let's keep that in mind. Right? So if you stop praying and you tell everyone else to go pray, right, it doesn't mean that we don't have to pray anymore. Right? But it's just in terms of rewards. Prophet ﷺ also said, by Allah, if Allah were to guide one man, if Allah were to guide one man, meaning one person, one man or woman, through you, it would be better for you than the best type of camels. So we know that the people in those days were very big about camels, right? Nice camels, just like we're good, we're big about good cars. So the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, if Allah were to guide one man, and notice this, he's still saying, if Allah were to guide one man through you, right? So you're not the one who's guiding. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's guiding, but you're the one who made the effort. So if Allah were to guide one man through you, it would be better for you than the best type of camels. So we get the encouragement from this, that there's a huge reward, and we need to make the effort to present our deen, present our religion, to present what is good, to everyone around us, so that we can all get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know there's a huge reward, so what's the smart thing to do? So we look for opportunities for calling towards good. And these can be small, small things. It doesn't have to be a huge project. It doesn't have to be a huge endeavor. It can be the smallest of things. Things that spark people's interest. So one of the sisters in our community, the other day, she posted this on her Facebook account. And I caught my interest. She said she was walking to catch a bus when her adhan went off on her phone. And it was a bit loud. Right? So a passerby, a person who was passing by, you know, caught her eye and noticed this sound of the adhan coming out as she was reaching for her phone. And she felt like telling him, or telling the person, God's calling, right? Because it was the adhan. Right? So it sounded like a ringtone. She pulled out her phone and she wanted to tell the person that God's calling. But when I thought about this, right, I said, subhanAllah, who knows, right? Who knows that this person might get interested in what they heard, and they might hear it again, and it might click the next time they hear it on the news or somewhere else. They might Google it, and that might spark their interest in Islam. And these are small, small things that happen sometimes, and we don't really realize them, but you never know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to use even the smallest of our actions. Even the smallest of our actions, even if we didn't really intend them and meant them to be perceived in such a way, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use that small action and use it as a means for guiding someone else. So small things, you know, like for example, casually mentioning prayer and salah. So when I was studying, I might have mentioned this before, you know, casually I was walking down to the train with Matthew, one of my classmates, and I said, hey Matt, you go to the train, I'm coming, I just have to go pray real quick. He's like, what do you have to do? I said, I have to go pray. He's like, oh, cool, can I come watch? I was like, yeah, sure. Right? So I can take him to the musalla. So I was like, okay, take off your shoes, sit down. So he sits on the chair and he watches me pray. And he's interested. And you know, it sparks his interest and he wants to know. I had another friend, same thing. Right? He says, I have to do a photography assignment for photojournalism. Can I come and take pictures of you while praying? I said, okay, come on, no problem. Right? So I'm praying and making sujood and he's going around and taking pictures of me in different positions. Anyway, so the point is that we do small actions, small things, small tidbits here and there to spark people's interest. Yes, yesterday, saw one of the fathers of our students who come at night, was offering his salah, and his little daughter was also started offering salah. right? Now, normally what happens here is, if you come in the evening, you know what happens. Class is over, kids are running all over the place, right? But in this case, because the little girl was praying, the other little girls were running around saying, hey, maybe we should pray as well. And then they all started praying. So we had the father, and we had 3-4 other little girls who were all praying together. And I thought about that, and I said, SubhanAllah, this is the power of leading by example, of setting an example, right? So the father's praying, so the daughter came. Daughter came, friends also came, right? And I would see this repeatedly when I was studying, for example, in the Islamic school. You know, normally before salah, what do children do? They just sit and talk to one another. One day I was like, okay, you know what? I won't say anything to them. I was a bit older, so I said, usually I would tell them, quiet down, whatever. I said, I won't say anything. I'll just go and grab a copy of the Quran and start reciting and see what happens. So instead of sitting myself and doing nothing, I decided to take the step, and you know what happened? SubhanAllah. After that, almost everyone who came after that did the same thing. Right? So a lot of times it takes a little effort on our part, and if we start doing something, a lot of times other people will also get encouragement, and they'll be like, hey, I can do this too. And they'll be able to catch on as well. So the point of all of this, right? The point of all of this is not to, see what we can do, but rather the point is to increase goodness. The point is to increase goodness in our masjid, in our homes, in our communities, in our city, in our country. And a very important point is to always highlight and encourage goodness, even if it's a little bit. So always, always, always try to encourage something that is good and highlight it. Encourage it, even if it's a little bit. You know, and this goes for ourselves and for others as well, that if we can't do something all the time, we still should do it sometimes. Right? If there's something that we can't do all the time, you know, we all have weaknesses, we all have shortcomings, I know my shortcomings, we all know about ourselves. But to do a little bit is better than doing nothing at all. But a lot of times we fall into this trap and we start thinking, well, you know, if I pray only when I'm in the masjid and I don't pray at other times, you know, I'm basically being a hypocrite, right? Because I'm showing people that I can pray when I'm in the masjid in front of them, but when I go other places, then if I don't pray, then that means I'm being hypocritical. And Islam tells us not to be hypocrites. So you know what? I just won't pray at all. Right? Sometimes we start getting these type of thoughts, right? Shaitan starts tricking us and telling us that even a little bit of good that we're doing, forget it, don't do it, because you can't do it all anyway. But and this reminds me of an elder who told me this. He said, you know, there was a time when he wouldn't offer his salah. There was a time when this person wouldn't offer his salah. And he met a wise person, a wise, pious person who told him, he said, look, try to pray, because he knew this person wasn't praying at all. He said, try to pray 5 times a day. That's what we should be doing. But if you can't do that, try to pray at least 4 times a day. He said, if you can't even do that, try to do at least 3. And if you can't do that, then do 2. If you can't do that, then do at least 1 a day. If you can't even do that, then at least think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And he says that was what clicked for him. Right? That was what clicked for him. And then after that, he started offering not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but all 5 salah daily. Right? So this is how we encourage people and set examples for one another and try to find the good in all of us. Now the worst thing that can happen is that when someone is trying, right? So if I feel like, okay, you know, I need to improve in something, I'm going to try to, you know, do a little something that whatever I can do. So a person starts improving, but then someone comes along and totally turns the tap off by saying something or by suggesting something, right? So instead of trying to help people, even if they might have had the intention of trying to help someone to improve, instead it has the opposite effect, and the person totally goes away from what they had already started to do as well. Right? So we have to be very, very careful in the words that we choose and the types of actions we have towards one another, that we don't turn people away, we don't turn people off. Rather, whatever good there is in any one of us, we try to encourage that and try to build upon that and take a positive approach. So the point is to let's stay positive, let's try to improve ourselves and use every opportunity, every single little opportunity, whether it's our ringtone or, you know, anything else, to help others increase in goodness. And ultimately, the goal is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do this, to increase goodness in our lives, to call others towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and with the best of methods. Ameen wa akhudu wa ana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.